Well, again, good morning. I would like to welcome each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior. Feels like it's been a long time since I've been here. It's been a few weeks. I've been traveling quite a bit, before Christmas, I was down in Nashville and got to go down and visit my niece, Katie, Rob, and Stephen Kimball and Amy Kimball. And I know it wasn't long after the reunion when several of our members here were there, and they really appreciated having each of you there, and they talked to that, and it was good to see them. And then I spent kind of an extended period in Missouri with my family, and it was really nice. And the best part was I could spend several weeks with my granddaughter, which was awesome. So it's not that I don't like being with you, but I really like being with my granddaughter, so it was nice. Had the holidays with family, and so then back. And so really looking forward to this day. You know, how the process kind of works is Chris Moran sends all of us brothers a text message and coordinate schedules, and I've been looking forward to this day and this time to have to spend with each of you. And it's kind of the winter time is like my meeting season, and so I'm going to be hit and miss for a few weeks, but I really appreciate this time. It's like coming home, and it's comforting. It's really hard for you to, I want to kind of convey a message today, I'm gonna talk about darkness. Not that it's going to be a dark message, but if you can, it's kind of hard to see, but I actually have a black screen up on the screen. It was just a blank black screen, and I wanted to kind of use it in to kind of start the thought of what I wanted to share and kind of the message that I hope to convey. I want to start by opening with 3 Nephi, the 6th chapter. And so if you would turn with me there, 3 Nephi, the 6th chapter. I'm going to go there myself. 3 Nephi, 6th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 3rd verse, I think. Yep. So 3 Nephi 6, and I'm going to read the 3rd through the 12th verse. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, even so will he clothe you, if ye are not of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For ye heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient is the day unto the evil thereof. I love this scripture. You know, the 11th verse is the one that, we hear it in sermons a lot. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But I really like how that scripture ties in with this idea of having faith, turning things over to the Lord. And that's kind of, I'm starting with a black screen. And so I'm curious, how many of you as children were afraid of the dark? I was. You know, I remember thinking that maybe there might be something under my bed. So if I got up out of bed, which I didn't like to do, you know, I'd kind of leap a little ways over, you know, to try to get away from whatever was under the bed. Or I remember my Grandma Nass house had the light for the basement was down in, the light switch for the basement was down in the basement. You had to go all the way down. And the steps were open, so I'm sure there were things that were gonna reach through and grab my leg as I stepped down those stairs. And I think about, I was actually talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about, they just moved to this area, and they were talking about, you know, their husband travels some, and talking about, you know, it's the first time they're gonna stay in their house alone and fearful of that. And I think there's a lot of things that, you know, whether it's darkness, and I kind of use that as an example because it's something that we can imagine, whether it's things that we have fear of, right? There are things that, you know, clearly, you know, what this scripture, 35:6, really calls out is how we turn things over to the Lord. I was listening to a podcast last night. So actually, the story is I went to dinner last night. I went out. I'm a person, I don't mind going to dinner by myself. I went out last night and just kind of sat and ordered my dinner and started flipping through my phone and was reading the news and moved over to flipping through Twitter and going through. And there was a deal that popped up on Twitter, and there's a guy, he has a podcast, really interesting guy. And basically he had said, you know, he was gonna go in hiding for a while. Something was happening. I don't know what. And at the same time, it was really coincidental, my son and my daughter-in-law text me, and they were like, hey, you gotta listen to this podcast. Same exact guy that said he was gonna go in hiding. They said, you gotta listen to this guy. Coincidence, totally coincidence, but it was interesting. And my point of bringing it up is I'm not a big conspiracy person. There are people that are conspiracy people. Now, I like it. It's kind of interesting. I'll listen to it. I listened to this podcast, and it's a conspiracy that goes with it. But what I find is, and this is why I'm bringing this up, and this is why it relates to darkness or it relates to fears that we have, is inevitably what happens in my mind, or inevitably. So I listened to this podcast as I drove back from the restaurant. I got in my house, and there was 30 minutes left in this podcast, so I listened to the rest of it. Sat in my chair, and inevitably I started thinking about, you know, talking about terrorist attacks, or it was talking about things in 2025 that are going to happen. And I don't want to think about those things, right? I don't like those things. Those things are concerning to me. Those things are real, but those things are definitely concerning to me. And so then I start thinking about all these things, and I start worrying, right? And I think, you know, whether it's thinking about a conspiracy theory, whatever it is for you that causes worry, whatever it is for any of us that causes this concern, right? It is that thing that, you know, that at least for me, it is that thing that kind of wells up in me, and it's things that I can't control, but things that bother me. I'm an individual who, I'm a linear thinker. If I'm really struggling with a decision or I'm struggling with something, you know, I've really got to lay things out and just kind of think through what I'm trying to work through or what's bothering me or what decision that I need to make. And I find that sometimes, you know, that I don't like the worry, I don't like the fear, I don't like those things, but I also recognize that I can't completely hide from them. So, shift gears, I wanna tell you another story. So, I was talking to someone actually yesterday morning, it was a brother in the church, and the brother had approached me and was sharing with me a concern And this brother was approached by a family, and this family had said that they didn't, you know, they didn't like hearing sermons about concerning things that are going on in the world today. And so to the point where they just didn't want to participate if there was a sermon or if there was something bad talked about. And, you know, I can appreciate, I know that I can tell you there was a time, you know, there was a time when, you know, in Independence, there was an East Local and there was a Temple Lot. And I went to the East Local and I grew up in the East Local. And I remember there was a time, there was a aging population within the East Local. And sometimes, you know, what we found within the East Local was sometimes it was always talking about the fearful things of the end of times, right? And there was a younger generation that was looking and saying, man, I don't want to hear about these things, right? I want to talk about hope. I want to talk about joy. I want to talk about all these great things, right? But there was this... there was this reality is, you know, I guess the realization in my mind or kind of where I've come to in that is, you know, I don't want to preach fear. I don't want to preach scary things. But I also want to recognize that, you know, when we see these things, this is recognizing the joy in the journey that we have today, right? I truly believe while I've got things that... you know, we know that things are going to happen. You know, recognize whether I know you all understand this, right? If you recognize there have already been, in essence, kind of thought of two terrorist attacks in the U.S. in 2025 already, and today is only the 5th of January, right? So, you know, does that scare you? Or can we look at it in a way in recognizing that, you know, there is a point that Christ will return. I remember growing up, you all remember brother and sister Sheldon, right? Bill Sheldon, Doris Sheldon. So I grew up with them as a part of our family, right? Because I grew up in the same local, I was right there with them. And I remember hearing testimonies, phenomenal testimonies. I mean, I loved testimonies from our sister Sheldon. And powerful testimonies of faith, just amazing testimonies of faith. But what I remember is hearing testimonies that their confidence in seeing the return of Christ. So think about a young teenage boy who, I was born in 1970, I'm 54 years old, I'm not old, I'm getting older, right? But I was born in 1970. What was happening around 1970, if you remember, sorry for this lesson, but it was somewhat of a Cold War, right? And I remember in grade school where we would go and there were practice situations where you would get under your desk to protect yourself from what? A nuclear bomb, right? So a kid who is a worrier, right? A kid who grew up thinking that Russia was going to attack at any time and fed by this, I can definitely tell you I'm not the smartest kid in the world. I wasn't the smartest kid. I'm definitely not the smartest person in the world, right? But in my mind, it was this fear. Now, did it cripple me? No, not at all. A really interesting side story I would tell you is Michelle and I got the opportunity for my job one time where we went on a cruise. We were supposed to go on a cruise. I don't remember. It was for my job, and it was a really tough job one day, where we ended up going. We were supposed to go somewhere, and they had to change it because of 9/11, and we ended up going on a Baltic cruise. And part of that Baltic cruise took us to St. Petersburg, Russia. So I was sitting on a ship on a deck. I distinctly remember this, right? And I'm looking at St. Petersburg, Russia, and we walked around St. Petersburg, Russia on tours. But I distinctly remember sitting in this chair, looking out over St. Petersburg, St. Petersburg, Russia, thinking, in my life as a kid, this was our mortal enemy, right? And here we are, you know, Jeff Oldham, fast forward, sitting here, you know, seeing this. And I share that because as a kid, it was scary to me. It was fearful to me. And I grew up hearing these testimonies of, we're going to see the return of Christ before I even have a chance to have children. Before, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking before. And so all of these things, I share this because, you know, I ultimately want to focus on, and if you would, turn to John 1. You don't have to turn. I actually have what I'm going to read here. But I have this, and I have this thought because, you know, sometimes we can focus on the negative. What I want to highlight and what I want to reinforce, and I guess the message that I want you to take away, is there is absolute darkness within the world, but while we see that, while we understand that, while we have that, ultimately, I want to reinforce this message of light. So I want you to kind of, before I dive into John 1, so you've heard all the things that I've said, and all of the things that led up to this. But I kind of want to draw on this picture that's here. Have you ever been in the woods and you step into the woods, super dark, right? And you look up and you see an amazing array of stars, right? And it's almost this, and this is my mental picture, you can pretend to go along or not, but you almost, it's like this darkness changed to light. Right? Because you just see this light. And it's this, you know, really for me, it's an amazing thing. Our sister Sue has inspired me to enjoy the Northern Lights. I can be honest that I never paid attention, probably never cared, no offense, but I remember the first time we could see it from our house. Sue had posted something. I remember our niece was over visiting. It was our granddaughter was in town. Trent and Avery went actually to a concert with some others that night, I think. That was the time. And Michelle said, you got to come out and see it. And you got to see it through your phone. And man, what an awesome sight. Right? So it's darkness, right? Dark. Again, go back, pretend this is a dark scene, the lights go out, you can't see anything, right? And it's darkness, it's absolute darkness, and you see this light, right? And that's the point that I wanna try to drive at is, and so I wanna dive into the scripture. So John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? So this, there's so many meanings, and I said earlier, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, so smart people can really break this down and really make a ton of sense of this. But the point is, again, right, I started out, when you think about, equate darkness to any of the things that concern you, scare you, you're afraid of, you're fearful of. Again, right, we've had two terrorist attacks in their nation in the U.S. already just in 5 days of this year, and that could scare you, right? But ultimately, the focus is on the light, the good things, the great things that we have. No matter what's happening within this world, what we have is a faith, an anchor in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, throughout time, all the way up until the very end of time, through infinity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, right? In the beginning, right? Genesis 1, and I'm going to quote it. You know, Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word is what? God, right? And the Word was with God. What does that mean? Was with God. Who is that referencing? Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Right? So God the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Word was God. Right? This superiority of God, right? This perfectness, this this everything, right? So again, all these things that I have to be fearful of is not taken away from or can be minimized by, in the beginning was God, the superiority, the power of, the foundation that we have to build our life on is the Word of God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So there's a lot of different areas, and I've kind of already gone off kind of my notes, and I'm going to kind of go around but you know, the general message and the general area that I really want to focus on in my message today is in this fifth verse, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Right, and I think there's so many kind of comparisons or pictures, or how we draw into this idea is, and the light shineth in darkness. Right, this illustrating the enduring power of Christ's light. Right, I want to kind of use this example, and during COVID. When COVID first hit and everybody was staying home and nothing was going on, I went out and bought a bike. And I've always tried to exercise. I know it doesn't really look like it, but I do try to exercise pretty consistently. And the gym I was going to was closed, and so I bought a bike, and there was an awesome bike trail right by our house. And it was an old railroad track they converted. And the first day I went out on this bike, and I'm an early riser and I get up, but it was springtime or fairly early. So even though it was early, it was still somewhat light, but it was slowly getting light. And this bike trail, it was really cool. So I'd go from our house down to the trail, and then I'd take this trail, and it was a slight decline down to this endpoint. You turn around and then come back. Well, there was a long tunnel, and it really reminds me of this tunnel. If I didn't know better, if I didn't just grab this off the internet, I would have thought this was truly the tunnel. And so I remember the very first time I'm riding this bike, it's kind of dark, but slowly getting light. And as I was barreling down this slight decline, I get into this tunnel and I can't see anything. If somebody was there, I would not have known it. And to the point where it startled me, and I was kind of fumbling around. I had my phone up telling me my miles, things like that. And I was fumbling around trying to turn on my flashlight on my phone. And I finally reached a point where I saw the light at the other end of the tunnel. Right? And I kind of draw this in is, you know, this mental picture is, you know, in the fifth verse when it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not," right? So is in this first part of this verse, you know, this idea is what does darkness represent? What does darkness represent? Sin, absolutely, right? Darkness is, it's sin, it's ignorance, it's evil within the world, right? It's then all of a sudden Christ's light shines with a consistency, it's a strength, it's strength under opposition. 3 Nephi 8:54, it says, "But ye shall pray for them and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light that it may shine unto the world." What is our responsibility within this world? We are to be a light, right? And in this darkness, do they completely understand it? Absolutely not, right? I mean, I think about, you know, in things, it's, so think about stories throughout the Book of Mormon. And as you've gone through the Book of Mormon, what's kind of the, and I'm asking questions I probably just say, right? So as you think about stories within the Book of Mormon, you see a people that come close to God, that come close to Christ, and then what inevitably happens over time? Start to fall away, right? And then something happens, and they come back closer to God, and then inevitably what happens? They start to fall away, right? And we can sit here, and at least I shouldn't say we, I sit here and I look and I think, you know, as I've read the Book of Mormon, man, how could that happen? But we look around within the world that we live today and we see it, right? I think of the example of the flaxen cords, you know, that just slowly lead us away. Right, the bundling of how, you know, a simple string, we've seen the example many times, one string, we can break out of that, right? And it continues to build and it continues to build. But what I want to focus on is again this idea, and this light at the end of the tunnel is in my mind this hope, right? I want hope. I want to see hope. I want to understand hope, right? In Alma 16, 143, 143rd verse, sorry, Alma 16, 143. And now as I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if ye have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true, right? This idea is how many of you have physically seen Christ? Have we seen visions of Christ? Absolutely. And some of us have. I don't know that I have. But I absolutely have a belief in Christ. Right? And I think that it is this thing, right? Have I seen darkness? Absolutely. Right? Have I seen the light? Absolutely. And it is a hope. And that's what my, you know, ultimately my message is for us. Turn with me to Alma 16. I want to go to Alma 16, and I'm going to start at the 163rd verse. Alma 16, 163. And now behold, after ye have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither must ye lay aside your faith, for ye have only exercised your faith to plant the seed, that ye might try to experiment, that ye might try the experiment to know if the seed was good. I was my sales manager, one day we were in a meeting with all of our sales team, and he asked the question, you know, when is the best day to plant a tree? So his answer was, you know, probably 35 years ago, right? It's fruitful, you know, whatever that kind of analogy would be. What's the second best day to plant a tree? Today, right? And I kind of think about that as I think about this verse, and as I think about, you know, this idea, as I think about, you know, recognition of I myself am a sinner. I make mistakes, right? There's things that I do wrong, but I also recognize and I'm thankful for this avenue of prayer, this avenue of repentance, this avenue that we have today to come together and to seek the Lord's forgiveness, right? We have an opportunity to prepare our hearts and our minds for the emblems that we are to take today, because we have this avenue of an awesome God that in the beginning was everything, in the middle of our lives is everything, at the end of our lives is absolute everything, and knows all, sees all, and is that absolute foundation for us, right? In this verse, Alma 16, 163, and now behold, after ye have tasted the light, right? It is your knowledge perfect? No, absolutely not. Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither must ye lay aside your faith, for ye have only exercised your faith to plant the seed, that ye may try the experiment to know the seed was good. And behold, as the tree beginneth to grow, you will say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us. And now behold, if ye nourish it with much care, it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. But if you neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, it will not get any root. And when the heat of the sun cometh and scorcheth it, because it hath no root, it withereth away, and ye pluck it up and cast it out. All right. This is probably more of a guy thing, but how many of you guys had either a brand new car, or you had a car that was like really, really cool, and you were determined that you were going to wash it every single day? Anybody have that experience? I did. A 1973 Volkswagen Super Beetle, right? Don't laugh, that was my first car. Not just a Beetle, but a Super Beetle. Bought it from my Uncle Pat Fisher, right? My dad and I worked on it, fixed it up. It was the right price, right? I was determined this was going to be the cool car. Day one, my excitement about this car was through the roof, right? I thought, and I really could pop a wheelie with this car. And it was so cool that I could show my friends, and I hit another car. So my excitement for this car on day one versus my excitement for this car when I hit another car really went down, and it was never the same, right? And you know, I think about that sometimes when the day that we were baptized, where is our excitement? It's probably through the roof, right? And day number two, it's really good. And day number 5,000, I don't know, right? And I think it's this idea, and I think this is where I love this scripture, is continuing to challenge us, right? Because what is our responsibility? Going back to John 1, it says in the beginning, right? It's that foundation of God. And in the fifth verse, it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, right? I think we have a responsibility in what? That first part of, and the light shineth, right? We are a part of that light, right? And continuing on, so it says in the 167th verse, now this is not because the seed was not good, neither is it because the fruit thereof would not be desirable, but it is because your ground is barren, and ye will not nourish the tree. Therefore, ye cannot have the fruit thereof. And thus, it is if ye will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, ye can never pluck of the fruit of the tree of life. But if you will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is, sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith, and your diligence, and patience, and longsuffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. How many of you set New Year's resolutions? I don't. I'm not good at it. Right? I used to, right? But then I don't follow through. I was at the temple lot last Sunday, and last Sunday was the 29th, and brother Cody Fan and brother D.A. Vogel, I think it was D.A. Vogel, actually handed out a sheet of paper, and basically it's a kind of a guide or a breakdown of how to read through the Bible for the year. And so they've got chapters within the Bible that you can read every week. And I took a picture of it. I'd be happy to share it. But I think about that. So it is one that it's every week, and actually it starts Today is the first week. I actually started last week, so I got ahead, right? But it's this idea of, you know, I think it really applies along with these verses is, right, there is something that we've got to do every single day. Climb out of bed, we kneel down beside our bed and we pray, right? Or however you pray, whatever your way of praying is, right? Participating in services, participating in taking of the emblems, right? Studying the word, right? Nourishing this tree, nourishing for the fruit that will come. And I think it's absolutely vital for us, right? Because we are called to be this light. We are called to, you know, seek the life and the light of Christ, right? You can think of the analogy of this flashlight that has the battery that it's getting weak and it needs to be recharged, right? Shining his light in the world, and our responsibility to be that light, and our responsibility to continue to shine. Turn with me to Ether, the first chapter, and I'm going to read the 77th through the 79th verse. Behold, I am he which was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. In me shall all mankind have life, and that eternally which they which shall believe on my name, and they shall become my sons and my daughters. And never have I showed myself unto men whom I have created, for never hath man believed in me as thou hast. Right, this application of seeking the life and light of Christ and being that light and light of Christ. I didn't go back and look. I was kind of thinking as I was driving over here, and I think probably, admittedly, I'm an individual. I'll deliver a sermon, or I prepare a sermon, and I save it in my computer. And I don't know that I completely remember what I spoke about last time, but as I was thinking, as I was driving here, Eric can relate, probably a similar experience. And I've had times where people said, hey, do you remember when you said X? And I'm like, no, I really don't. But my point of sharing that is I think, I feel like for me anyway, there's been kind of a theme of this idea of light in my mind, and it's been kind of continuing to draw out. And I think maybe it's, you know, sometimes when we feel that we have a message to share, it's probably less for you and probably more for me. And so understanding, you know, this idea is I think we've been given such an awesome opportunity, right? I think we've been given, I'm gonna just read really quickly Luke 21. I'm gonna turn to it real quick. Just gonna read one verse in Luke 21, and I'm gonna read the 20th verse. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them, it's this idea of, right, and it kind of goes back to the very beginning of what I was talking about I think we are bombarded with things that can or may be fearful to us in our life. Right, there are things that we have. We can hear and we can have things. You know, just like I talked about. My son sent me a text of a podcast that would create, you know, this idea of fear or concern in my mind. But this idea is trusting in Christ, seeing the light, understanding. Right, this idea that Christ wins. In John 16, the 33rd verse, these things I have spoken to you that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Ether 153, and he cried again unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, behold, I have done even as thou hast commanded me, and I have prepared the vessels for my people, and behold, there is no light in them. Matthew 11:28, come unto me come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give ye rest. Right? That's kind of my hope, and that's kind of my message that I want to share with us. I don't know what's going on in your heart, and I don't know what's going on in your mind. I don't know what excites you. I don't know completely what scares you, right? I don't know if you're afraid of the dark, right? Again, I was just trying to use it as an example, but what I do know is fear is instilled by an evil one that wants to destroy, right? But the light, the word, you know, this foundation that we have to continue to draw on no matter what is going on around us, right? The chaos. I've been working on some contract stuff, and I can tell you that, you know, legalese within the contract, you know, gets me anxious. But if I can lay things out, right, and I can worry about things that I really don't need to worry about, because I know that we have the Lord to call on. And that's comfort, right? That's strength. That is not being afraid of whatever is going on around us. That is the strength of that light. Thank you.